Hi, this is Scott DeLosio with Parasol Speedway Podcast number 4 for the 2017 season. Just 3 days before the 2017 season opener, the annual Sicola shootout for the AMSL USAC CRA Sprint Cars, Pass and Young Gun Sprint Cars, and on the telephone right now, one of the most popular drivers to ever appear at Parasol Speedway, the 4-time defending USAC CRA champion, 5 times total, from Concord, California, the Demon Damian Gardner. Great to talk to you, Damian. It's been a while, so why don't you clue us in and some of the fans, what have you been doing over the winter to pass the time away?
Oh, man, just, holidays and then itching to get back racing. Went to Florida with some shaver and shops in there and got a little bit in my blood a couple weeks ago and helped them guys out and they had some good success, and so now I'm just got home here, and I'm eager to get going.
What race was it you were at in Florida?
I went to Volusia to the Outlaw Show, and I did some work with Shaver and help out there. So we kind of went down there, and they try to get the season off to a good start, and this year they got off to a good start, so things are good.
Is that the first time you've done something like that, going out of town to help Shaver?
No, I mean I usually go to Volusia every year. Winter, it's raining. This year was exceptionally bad with the rain, so good way to get out of town and go see some sun. And me and Ricky Warner there, we work together on some stuff all the time, different stuff, and kind of go back and forth. So just anytime I can go and learn from guys like that, it helps out.
You dominated, or I should say dominated, but I guess I could say dominated. When you used to run the USAC National Series, you did pretty good down in Florida. How come you don't drive down there anymore during the Ocala opener, which was last week?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, no one's ever called me to go down there.
You would, though, if somebody did.
Yeah, I would go. Obviously, I want to go in a good car and stuff. I don't beat a lot of guys up trying to go. I used to do that back in the day, but I don't. I'm pretty spoiled here with the 4-car. It runs pretty good, and we run pretty well, so... going there and figuring, with the new deal, it's kind of a little bit tough sometimes, but, I'd be open to it. Just, haven't got many calls, but when we used to go there, we used to definitely run good, and I definitely love Florida. So.
You won a lot of mains down there. Do you miss running more different racetracks like that than you did when you ran the USAC National Sprint Car Series?
I don't miss it in the sense of the tracks are better. I mean, I miss running a little more than we do out here. I wish we ran just a little bit more. We used to run 45 times, I think, and that's a little much for, maybe guys out here, but it was nice. I didn't mind it. I wish the schedule could get up by the 30s would be perfect, if we could have it my way. But running as much as I did back there, it had its ups and downs. I mean, not a lot of time to regroup. When things aren't going good, here I'm a little spoiled. I get to come home, massage on things, make them better, and go back, do it again. And, I grew up doing a lot of different things. So this, being out here, I'm a little spoiled now. It just gives me time to do other stuff and get a little break from it and then get to go back at it.
Some of the other stuff you're doing, you got any fishing in this winter?
Yeah, I went fishing. I went hunting. I usually go hunting once in the winter. I go fishing once in the winter there on the ocean. And then, and then with the holidays, it's a pretty busy time. So just that and then just get away with my family.
What kind of hunting do you do?
Usually like deer or elk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we usually go up to Utah and do a little hunting up there.
And your family, you say now you're still up in Concord, correct?
Yeah, I'm up in Concord. That's where my parents live. My sister, they live up there. And I live not too far from them. And I got 2 little nephews now, so I get to see them. And, enjoy some of that now.
And start of the season coming up just in 3 nights, and you're back in beautiful L.A., what you told me earlier. Working on the race car?
Yeah, I'm down here. I do some work down here, too. But this week I came down just to, hang out with the guys and get things, wrapped up and just get ready. So we go to there Saturday night. We're ready to go and, put it down.
Is the car all finished and ready to go?
Yeah, you just finished. We're just kind of going over some... different shocks and different stuff, but different new parts we got, just checking them out and getting them, understanding them, and then hopefully we'll just be prepared.
With you being up north most of the year, the team does most of the work on the race car. What do you come in and check for to make sure it's done to your satisfaction?
Me and Steve work on the motors, and we just kind of, you know, we just basically get back in the groove of things, make sure things are all right, check everything out again, and just make sure we're on the same page. And I go over my shocks, and maybe I change some stuff from last year, so I just make sure, check it all out, make sure I understand it all, and just have a good understanding of what I'm going to be doing for this next year.
You mentioned Steve Alexander. That's the crew chief, Mark Alexander, the car owner. I want to get to something about them in just a couple of seconds. You guys have a great chemistry in that team. What makes it work?
Oh, I mean, I think it's just, you know, it's just like I just said. I mean, Mark pretty much, Mark and Rick, they pretty much are at the shop every night working on the cars, putting them together. And you know, they do an excellent job there, and, you know, make sure everything's tight and right. And then Steve, me and him just go back and forth on the setup. And it works really well because there's no egos to get involved there. We're both trying to go fast and do the best we can. And if we got to change some things, you know, they're willing to do that. So I think that's what just makes it go good. Steve goes there with a fresh mind and me and him work on the car. And then Mark gets to Mark hangs out at the track and he does anything, the emergency type situation, he gets involved. But it gives, them guys the time to enjoy that. And me and Steve get to, work on the car there.
It's a great story with that team. It's not a huge buck team. But even before you, that car has always been super competitive. What makes that team work so well with different drivers? It hasn't been just one driver. They've had Corey Cruiser, they have Ricky Gaunt, Tony Jones. They've always done well. Mike Kirby, another guy.
Yeah. I think it's, they obviously, they always have, good equipment, and they put it together really well. And, I just think that they understand, they have understood, just like the Bruce Brahma, they understood that different drivers like different things, and there's no ego when it comes to that. They're willing to do whatever they need to do to make the guy comfortable. And I think that's why you see guys jump in their cars and run pretty well right out of the gate. Because they're just willing to make that guy happy and make him do the best he can that night.
You just mentioned Bruce Brahma, another guy you drove for, won a championship with. I told Mark Alexander one time last year, and he looked at me like I was crazy when I said this, like, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. I mean, you got five championships, and now he's got an Oval National to go with it. Him and Steve Alexander, yourself, I think all three are going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. Obviously, you are with all you've done. Those guys don't believe it yet, and I think they're going.
Yeah, I would have to say that they would. I mean, I don't know exactly, but I'm sure, I think the 4 car and the 50 car, they're right there for some of the, greatest numbers that the West Coast has ever seen. So I don't see any reason why they wouldn't get in there. Been with different drivers, different situations. I mean, they've always cream always rises to the top, and they seem to do that.
Now, you mentioned numbers, and that was the next thing on my list here. How much do numbers mean to Damian Gardner?
I don't know that I've thought about him more lately, but I've heard about him more lately. People mention him more. I haven't really thought about him much in my whole career, I do know that every win I get is just add to the stats and add to the pile of wins. And that's why I like to win. I like to run good. It took me a while. I had to learn how to win championships and obviously winning, sometimes winning has to become second to that. But it's just a different phase of my career and I've managed to do that. But, it's always been important to me to win. I mean, I want to win. I want to win more than anyone. So I guess those stats matter to me, in the sense of, just winning and running good is one thing, but, you want to be remembered for last year for just winning races.
So I'm going to go back to those numbers in a minute, but just a quick question. When you came, the first thing that was most important to you was winning races. Now you've won these championships. What's more important now, winning main events or winning championships?
For me, it's always been winning races and trying to win races and trying to win the ones that you can't win. I think last year we came from the back one night and won and that's some situation where you think it just it can't be done. And I just say, you know, you never know. I mean, it can be done. If it hasn't been done, then, you know, someone can do it, and it might, you know, hopefully it can be you.
Here's some of those numbers for you. Start off with the Oval Nationals. Last year, you won it for the third time in your career. I think it was the second time in the last 5 years. Only two other guys, Dave Darlin and Bud Kading, have won the Oval Nationals three times as well. What would it mean to you to become the first four-time winner of that race?
Oh, you know, it'd be huge. I mean, it was a tough race for me, for me to win, the first time. I mean, I tried hard for a long time, and I was always, I felt like I was always decently successful at that race, but just couldn't get it done. And then I slowly started figuring it out and getting it done. And, to have four and be to stand alone with the most there would just be, a true honor. I mean, what can you say? I mean, when you do think about it and you start putting your name with some of the big guys that have won multiple events, big events, it means a lot. And, you want to come, that's the biggest race of the year. So, anytime you can say you won it just won it more than anyone, that would be huge.
Some people have complained about the Oval Nationals being three straight nights of racing. A lot of other people say they like it because the toughest prevail. Do you like running three straight nights like that?
Yeah, I mean, when it was two nights, I didn't really, I thought it lost some of that event feel. I thought it felt like it was just two nights of racing. And I thought, whenever you go to big events, like I've been in, Knoxville or, one of the biggest races, and I just feel they have this event feel where there's a build-up to the last night, and there's a little strategy involved. It's kind of like a mini season, you have to run good the first two nights, and you have to put yourself in a position to win, and then, if you do that, it all comes together, then you have to seize the opportunity and win,
Another tough one on the schedule, I'm getting out of my questions here, is California Sprint Week, which has come on. You've won the championship with that last year. Is that a lot of fun for you, racing all those races in so short period of time?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoy it, and I enjoy going up north there to, it's where I'm from, and all those tracks and the people up there I haven't seen in a long time, and I enjoy seeing them. I enjoy going to those places. And I think it's a good break from the normal down here, the tracks we run, and I think you see when we go up there, it's a pretty big deal. The fans, they come out, they love it. And, I like going up there and banging out, whatever that is, six races or whatever, so in a row or, roughly, and five races, whatever it is. But, it gets us going. And, I enjoy doing those races. Obviously it'd be different every night like the Outlaws, but doing that for 1 week is definitely a lot of fun.
Sounds like you'd like more races up north too.
Yeah, I want to do whatever's good for the series and non-wing sprint cars. I mean, I think this is the best show on dirt, bar none. I mean, you can argue all day long, but, as far as passing and watching racing, it doesn't get any better than this. So whenever we go up north, I know there's the travel and so forth, but, I think a part of getting out and traveling around a little bit definitely doesn't hurt the series.
Back to numbers real quick. Coming into this season, you've won championships four straight years in a row since you came back off the national tour. If you win again this year, you're going to only become the second driver in history. And we're talking back to 1946, the original CRA, SCRA, and now USAC CRA, to win five championships in a row. How hard, and you'll tie Mike Spencer, by the way, how hard will it be to win that fifth championship in a row?
I think every year is hard to win, whether it's, personal challenges with, the team. I mean, sometimes things just don't go your way. I think last year was one of my hardest seasons ever as far as, just things that could happen, did happen. And we've battled back from all those nights to have decent finishes, but we weren't winning. We weren't putting up the big numbers in the beginning of the year. And we just clawed our way back to the front, but. So that was, a really tough season. So you never really know what the season's going to give you. Every year there's always one or two guys, that come from nowhere and rise up and throw down a good challenge. And I think more importantly, you just got to make sure your stuff's right, you feel right, and and, you know, keep your confidence up. And I think if we do that, you know, we'll just keep doing what we do, and you know, they'll have to do what they do.
And back on numbers, we're going to keep it there for a couple seconds. Another win this year. It breaks a great logjam between yourself, Mike Spencer, Jimmy Oskey, the gas man, Richard Griffin. You all have 5 titles. That would put you one behind Ron Schumann. It's amazing to me to ever think, if I was a race car driver, to have my name involved with any of you guys. What does that feel like to you? I mean, there's a lot of history and so many wins with those guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys, I mean, you know, those are the guys, you know, some of those guys I raced with, some I, you know, and a lot of them I watched, you know, when I, you know, I didn't watch them when I was a kid. I wasn't that much involved, but later, you know, when I started racing, I saw these guys, and these guys were the guys to beat. You know, Schumann was a big influence. He, you know, he helped me a lot when I first got started and you know, went out of his way to, you know, I mean, he did it for the sport, but he was promoting it, you know, really well. And it helped me, you know, kind of catapult me into, you know, a lot of opportunities for me. And obviously, I mean, these guys put up big numbers. And I, you know, a lot of these guys, I just admire their style, you know, Gasman, you know, all these guys were just, you know, my kind of racers. So, you know, to have my name, you know, close with those guys or wherever it may be, you know, it's a true honor to, you know, I never imagined that, you know, I never imagined that I would put up numbers like that or be close to them. You know, I just wanted to win, you know, win a lot of races every year and you know, try to win more than anyone else. So I guess that's where you end up.
This is like year, I believe it's year 14 for the USAC series. It's one of the amazing stats I look at. You lead that series in all-time wins with 70 wins, despite the fact that you missed 5 or 6 of the years when you're racing back in Indiana. Second is Mike Spencer. He's got 37 wins, so you're quite a ways in front of him. You've also got 79 wins total, that's 6 overall, going back to 1946 again. You're probably going to pass Bubby Jones this year. You're 26 behind Dean Thompson coming in. With what time you have left in your career, can you pass Dean Thompson for the all-time lead?
Oh, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, like I said, it's, you never know what the season's going to give you. You know, I mean, I like to, you know, I always try to get into the double digits, you know, every year. And it's a little tougher now that we only race, you know, 20-something times a year. So it's a little tougher to get those numbers, you know. Back when we were racing 45, it was, you know, seemed a little easier. But you know, I provided I stay healthy and the car, you know, things are good, I think I can. You know, it's definitely an honor. Those guys, you know, even Dean Thompson in the beginning, he came out of nowhere to, you know, the first year I was there to just kind of, you know, give me words of advice and, you know, tell me I was doing a good job. And, you know, even though at the time people had to tell me who he was, you know, I would later learn just from, you know, from all these guys, Leffler and Shaver and all these guys, you know, everyone at the four car, that just how big Dean Thompson was. And obviously Ron Schumann, I mean, you know, Bubby Jones, you know, that guy too, he's helped me out a lot. He helps me today. We talk about a lot of stuff. So I truly admire those guys and what they did or done. And it would be pretty big.
Yeah, and I was going to, my next question was, you got to be buddies with Dean Thompson. You mentioned Jason Leffler. You're friends with both those guys, and sadly they're no longer with us.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's definitely sad. You know, especially Leffler, you know, being so young and another, you know, great racer and a great friend. And, you know, it was, you know, truly a sad day when that happened. But I don't know. I don't know. Those are the tough parts in racing. Those are the parts we don't like to, you know, really see happen, but they do.
Talked a second ago, you mentioned your start last year. It was a slow start for you. In fact, it was a real slow start for you. But the end, you guys came on like gangbusters after September, or starting with September. Was it a refocus during the year, or what changed everything around?
You know, well, I mean, just in the beginning, I mean, we just had a lot of little things happen. I mean, you know, a lot of, like, a few little things with the car that had nothing to do with you know, anything that was being done to the car, just kind of mechanical failures. And then, you know, and then I, you know, I had a lot of incidences where, you know, I'd get into someone else's, you know, someone else's incident. You know, they'd have a crash or a wreck, and we wouldn't be able to miss it, or, you know, someone would get into me and we'd spin out and have to go to the back. And, you know, but even then, I mean, if you really look back, I mean, it wasn't going good, but, you know, I think I came back to run top five most of them nights, which ultimately would keep me in the championship. And at the time I was beating the guys I needed to beat. So, you know, I think when the times are tough and when things are going wrong, all you can do is, you know, if you can look back and say we had a good night, meaning points night, or you came back to have a good finish, you persevered over whatever happened, then, you know, you just kind of got to weather that kind of storm. And you know if you're running good. I mean, you know if it's things you're doing wrong or is it things that are just happening. And if it's just things that are just happening, then you just got to keep fighting, and it'll turn around.
When you talk about championships, you know, it's been many years. Mike Spencer, 5 in a row. You, 4 in a row. Basically, you guys have dominated those years. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a bunch of young kids coming up. And last year in the championship, 8 of the top 10 were 27 or younger. What do you see with these young kids coming up? They're starting to improve very quickly. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, I think, yeah, they're definitely improving. And I think, you know, you've seen them, they're running harder. And, yeah, I mean, they're definitely, you know, running good. And now that, you know, I guess I'm, you know, I'm a hard critic, but I'm, you know, I only judge off the same way I judge myself, or I, you know, used to judge myself, you know, then or now. And basically it's, you know, there's stages of, you know, getting to the top, and, you know, those guys are running really good and racing at the front, and, you know, you just got to race at the front every night, and you got to turn the corner and start winning. And then, you know, if you're very, you know, if you're fortunate and you put all the pieces together, then, you know, you can dominate, you know, and that's what you got to try to do.
You've dominated with these younger guys. You've dominated with the old stars who are still racing when you were racing. A lot of it, or when you started racing, I should say, a lot of it is your focus. You're extremely focused. How do you keep your focus up throughout a race night?
I mean, I grew up a little different. I didn't grow up racing and I didn't grow up racing and making friends at the track. And I didn't go to the races to make friends. I went, you know, even when I was younger, I went to the races to work and learn and to learn the sport and to understand and try to be good at it, you know, and it's the same thing now. I mean, I have friends at the races and, you know, but that's not my main thing. When I get there, you know, 2 o'clock, I check in, and it's just like going to work. I mean, and I'm fortunate because I enjoy work, and I like, you know, not many people get to go to work every day and love it. And I do. And you know, that's just where it comes from. I mean, just, you know, and I grew up, my parents taught me how to work hard, and I don't mind working hard. And fortunately for me, you know, working hard paid off.
When you're not in the race car, what do you do for a living?
I do, you know, just special fabrication. Like, you know, I do a lot of different stuff. I might work on cars. I, you know, I do some special fabrication on some, you know, high-end homes. And I do a little work for Shaver on some engine stuff. And I kind of bounce around. And sometimes I get big projects that last for a few months. And sometimes I just bounce around from week to week and do whatever. So same thing. You know, I've been kind of fortunate that I learned to do a lot of different things. And you know, my dad taught me how to do a lot of stuff. And so, you know, my main focus is still racing. That's, you know, it's what I love to do. And for the most part, you know, nothing really gets in the way of that. And I think I'm able to stay focused on it.
You had a real interesting project, about 2-3 years ago down in L.A., down, I believe it was in the jewelry district. Tell a little bit about that, what you were doing down there.
That was a deal through Mike at All Coast. You know, I think we did the Bonneville project together, and he kind of just saw that I knew how to do just lots of different things. And he had invited me down to look at this project to restore, some neon artwork. And basically it's some overhead artwork that's, you know, runs all the time. You can go down there anytime and see it. And it was just beat up from the 80s. And Mike put it in there, had helped install it in the 80s. And it was just beat up and run down, and he took me down there and asked me if I thought I could restore it, and told me to formulate a plan and let him know, and I did. And that was, you know, like about a 4-month project, and it was pretty cool. It was a little different. And, you know, I didn't know anything about neon when I started, but I definitely learned about it.
Any more neon projects coming up for you?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing, it's not neon, you know, I did that, and I've done some other crazy, you know, some oddball, you know, I built the hydraulic garage door, I built, you know, same thing, some other big archetype project for another guy. So it's always something weird, but I think that, you know, fortunately for me, these guys know that I can do stuff like that, and it doesn't, you know, it's not my specialty, but I can figure it out, so they usually give me a call, and fortunately for me, they call me quite often, so.
I'm going to start wrapping this up right now. We'll go back to crew real quick for a second. Any changes on the crew or on the cars this year, meaning different type car and different chassis or different engine setup?
No, I mean, we got same stuff. We got some new engine stuff that we've done, but the same basic same basic concept. You know, we got DMI helping us out with some new drivetrain parts and some other things. But basically the cars are the same, and you know, I think that's part of the important part of the puzzle, that, you know, we run good and we just tweak things over here and there, but we don't try to reinvent the wheel.
And the crew's the same as last year?
Yeah, crew's the same. Obviously we're missing Ken from Scott Sales, so you know, fortunately for us, those guys have been stepping up and helping us get through the seasons. But you know, obviously not having Ken around is a big loss for us. And you know, so you know, we'll be looking to add a few sponsors to the car a little bit, help us out with that, and take a little load off the guys at Scott Sales, and just kind of, you know, move forward from there.
All right, just some fun stuff coming up next. Just some real quick questions. Lobster or crab?
Oh, man. I don't know. I have to say lobster.
Lobster. Do you catch lobster when you go out? Do you do any of that lobster fishing?
You know, I haven't been lobster. I haven't caught any lobster. We catch crab a lot, and I eat a lot of crab. So that's maybe why lobster is a little more, you know, I don't get it quite as much.
Consider yourself a city guy or a country guy?
Oh, man. I'm fortunate. I don't consider myself either. I'm both. I grew up, my dad was country and my mom was city, so I get to be both.
NASCAR or IndyCars?
NASCAR.
All right. You get to go out your boat. Prefer to go out in the ocean, or do you like being on a nice, smooth lake?
Nah, I like going to the lake.
Favorite beverage?
Coffee.
Yeah. And what do you drive on the streets?
I've got a 2002 Chevy truck, lowrider.
You've had that for a while.
Yeah, I've had it for a little while. Yeah, fortunately, I don't have to drive it a lot, so I fly down and stuff, so it's good. It doesn't have a lot of miles on it.
And the last question we have for you. What are you going to be doing 10 years from now?
Oh, man. Well, anyone who knows me knows that I don't know what I'm doing next week. So so 10 years from now, that's good. We couldn't really answer that question.
Damien Gardner, always a pleasure to talk to you, and it's even more a pleasure to see you race. In this Saturday night, fans, you can see this guy come out. He's going to be shooting for his fifth straight USAC CRA Championship, sixth title overall. It's going to be the Sokola Shootout, Parasol Speedway, this Saturday night, first race of the season. USAC CRA Sprint Cars pass Young Gun and Senior Sprint. Spectator gates are going to open at 5 p.m. First race is going to be at 7. If you want to buy advance tickets, get on the phone, 1-800-595-4849. I'm going to give that telephone number one more time real quick. It's 1-800-595-4849. 4849. If you do not wish to buy advance tickets, we'll have plenty of tickets for everybody at the ticket window on some Saturday. Bring the entire neighborhood. They're all going to get in, and they're going to get to see this guy race, Damien Gardner, one of the true legends of American sprint car racing. Damien, as always, great to spend time with you, and look forward to seeing you on the racetrack on Saturday night.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it, and you know, thanks again to everybody, and I hope to see you out there, and thanks, Paris, for you know, everything you guys do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.